Well, amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This text will be very familiar to most of you. We'll continue our series of hope in God. And we talked last Sunday about our hope in God for salvation. And this morning I want to take just some time and remind you of our hope in God for comfort. For comfort. As we think about, again, what the world and things that are going on in the world, life sends us many different curveballs in our life, many things we face in life, whether it's job situations, financial situations, health situations. I think about several in the church now that are facing health issues and remembering them in prayer. We also think about, again, loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord. I know Miss Sandra here this morning, and we think about Brother Chris. I think about him often. I miss him. And I even think about Brother Crawford, Ralph Crawford, and some of those even in the past. And many we think about have gone on to be with the Lord. And me and my wife have two daughters, and we have my grandparents now and many others. Paul here addresses, again, about death. He addresses about the resurrection. And he gives us just, a quote there at the end that says we ought to comfort each other with the words that he's given. In Thessalonians, we have Paul answering the question, basically, answering the questions concerning the resurrection. This church in Thessalonica had questions about the resurrection. In fact, some of them had thought they had missed the rapture, thought it had already taken place. And so Paul's just giving them assurance that the rapture hasn't taken place yet, that it is to come in the future, that it's absolutely going to happen, that there will be a resurrection. Amen? And Paul addresses and answers these questions. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. He acknowledged that the church at Thessalonica was waiting patiently for the hope that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you this morning are waiting patiently for the hope, because it could be today. Amen? Again, we have sorrows, disappointments, so many things happen in this life, but we have hope. Again, the word hope means confident expectation. Not the way we use hope. The Bible uses the word hope. It means confident expectation. It's just a matter of time. It's absolutely going to happen. Hope. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 says, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Again, people will fail you. The government will fail you. Your finances can fail you. Your job can fail you. Again, family members can fail you. But again, Christ will never fail you. He is our hope. He is our hope. The world has its doctors. And certainly, God has given us some talented doctors. I'm amazed at what they can do now versus just 18 years ago when I got in the ministry. I mean, I remember, and again, every surgery is major, right? My deal is, if they put you out, that's a major surgery. Went to Amy Guy's surgery this week, and y'all remember her in prayer. She's recovering. Remember her in prayer. But at any time, even if it's outpatient, they put you out, that's major surgery. I don't know about you. I don't want to be put out. I mean, my wife, anyway. But the doctors, yeah, that's a different kind of, yeah. The doctors are talented. God has given us some great doctors. Again, advancement in medicine has brought us a long ways. But you know what? They lose some on the operating table. You know? They lose some when they're given the chemotherapy and the other things. I'm glad I have hope in God. My ultimate hope's not in the doctor. You know, scientists have their explanation of things and what's to come and what's happened in the past. I'm glad my hope's not in their theories. My hope is in the authority and in the Word of God. Amen? I'm glad today my hope is not in some philosophers who simply say, all right, when you die in this life, you simply go to the grave. I'm glad my hope is not in the philosophers. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Him. Our hope is in the Word of the Lord. The Bible says in Titus and also in Hebrews that God who cannot lie, it's definite. It's absolute with God. Our hope. Look with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, in light of what you've just read, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the hope that we have in Your Son. God, we ask this morning as we look throughout Your Word, and help us to be reminded as Christians, those who are in Christ this morning, that our hope is in You. And Lord, what a blessed hope it is. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking forward again to the second coming of Jesus Christ. By the way, the second coming of Christ is mentioned in one in every 25 verses in the New Testament. I think that's pretty important then, isn't it? Amen? Isn't it? That's a Texas word for isn't it? Hope. We take comfort. We have comfort in knowing that Christ is soon to return. Look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He's not calling us ignorant. He don't want us to be ignorant. Brethren, notice who he's speaking to. Brethren, we be brothers. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're saved this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then Paul is speaking here to you. He's saying, brethren, concerning them, what? Which are asleep. Notice the term he uses. He uses the word asleep for death. When you pass from this life to the next, you are simply sleeping. Hello? He uses death in other areas of the Bible, but he uses the word asleep here. Asleep. For those concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And what about the sleeping ones? He says, don't sorrow. Why? Because they're simply asleep. They're in the coffin. They're asleep. Those who are in Christ, those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they pass from this life to the next, they're simply asleep. The Bible says the soul and the spirit never die. Amen. I'm glad today the Bible says to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I don't care what the TV, new TV show, shows or whatever the case is. You know, when you die, you don't go into a center point or some in-between state. There's no in-between state. People don't become ghosts. Hello? I don't care what is the name of that show? I'm glad you know that. How often do you watch it? I was baiting everybody, but the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die, the Bible makes it clear, when you pass from this life to the next, you pass instantaneous into the presence of God or in the presence of hell. There's two choices. And there's not some in-between state. You say, well, no. The Bible says they're just simply asleep. The soul and the spirit never die. Amen? That's so comforting, isn't it? That when that loved one's laying in there in the coffin, that they're just simply asleep. They're simply asleep. You think about Lazarus. I'll read this verse to you. If you want to, you can turn over there. John chapter 11, one of the friends of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, died. His name was Lazarus. John chapter 11, and verse 1. I'm going to read several passages here. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, her sister Martha. And it says in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereof." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith unto the disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" And Jesus answered and said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." Look down with me, verse 11. "And these things said he, is after he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus," verse 11 now, "our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Isn't that good? My friend's died. He's simply asleep. And I'm going to go wake him up. My wife wakes me up every morning, generally. Depending on how late I was up the previous night, sometimes she takes her 2 feet, puts on my back, and pushes me real hard. And I'm a morning person. She's not. You know, I'm the guy that gets up and bebops around the house, singing and picking on kids, throwing them on the floor. Sometimes it's tough. But awake. Jesus said, I'm going to wake him up. Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he's asleep, he shall do well." And howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken, taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go up unto him." Amen. Asleep. Lazarus is asleep. And those there in the coffin, those in the grave who are in Christ, are simply asleep. "Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope." Who are those who have no hope? We preached about that a few weeks ago. Those who have no hope are those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. Those who do not have eternal life. Those who are not in Christ have no hope. Now, and again, I'll remind you at the end of the message, but it doesn't say here that we shouldn't sorrow at the death of a loved one. It just says we shouldn't sorrow as others who have no hope. Paul's certainly not saying here we shouldn't cry and have tears at the graveside. Absolutely. That's human. I mean, absolutely. If a person isn't showing human emotion and they're holding all in, that's bad for you. Right? Amen. There ought to be some tears of sorrow. But not as others who have no hope. I've been at the graveside of both many times. I've been at the graveside of many Christians who have passed from this life to the next and watched their Christian families come to that graveside or come to the funeral and watch them most of the time, rejoice. Most of the time, it's not, again, it's not that there's not sorrow there, but the attitude, the environment is totally different than when the funerals I've been to where we knew the person in the grave was lost and the family members were lost. I've preached several funerals where somebody asked me to preach somebody's cousin's aunt's uncle's funeral. And the whole family was lost. And you get there and it's weeping and wailing and it's just totally different. That's what Paul's saying here is, don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Amen. We have hope. Paul simply says, hey, they're just asleep. Jesus clarified and said, hey, Lazarus is dead. But he used the term asleep. This is just their, Corinthians says it's just the tabernacle. This is just the body that houses the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit never die. Amen. Don't sorrow as others who have no hope. I hope this morning you have hope. And it tells you the next verse. It says, our faith, our hope is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Will God bring with him. This word if here means since. Not questioning, but saying, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Again, our faith and hope lies in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Our hope lies in what Christ did for us when he went to that cross and shed his blood and was nailed to that cross and was put the, they put the spear in his side, and he died there on the cross. Our hope is in the death burial. They buried him, and then on the third day he rose again. Our hope is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. He died, he was buried, and he rose again to give us hope. Hope in what? Hope in the hereafter. We talked last Sunday morning about the hope here and now. We have hope here now for abundant life and most of these other things. But we have the hope in that which is to come. Hope. He says, hope in these things. For those who which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. One day, the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise. Amen? Their bodies. But their soul and spirits are coming back with God. Amen? Let me get ahead of myself. It's Corinthians says that they'll be changed. We'll be changed in the moment of twinkling of an eye, and so will they. Those bodies will be reunited with the spirits, and here they go. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? Oh, let's get ahead of ourselves. Hope. Hope in the finished work of Christ. Again, notice the word sleep again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I was too, especially when our kids were small and they wanted to be tucked into bed, right? When they were little. Mommy, Daddy come tuck us into bed, go in there and put them in the bed and tuck it. Especially in that little bitty toddler bed thingy, you know. Tuck him in the bed and sing to him or whatever. I wasn't very good at bedtime stories. I didn't do that. But tuck him in the bed and maybe pray with him, whatever the case is, whatever you do, and walk out and turn the light off. That's sleep, right? Sleep. Those who are asleep. Those who are asleep. God's just tucked those in the bed. They're asleep. But the light's going to come on someday. Amen. Dad's going to come in and sing, "Rise and shine and give God the glory." My dad nearly did that every morning for us growing up. And he had a big booming voice and it wasn't on key all the time. But he came in singing, flipped the light on 6 o'clock in the morning because we had to ride the bus to school. "Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, rise and shine. Give God the glory, glory, rise and shine and... give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord." The animals, they came in by twosies. Y'all don't know that one? Songs have a tendency to stick in my head and never go out. I can't remember my name, but I can remember a song. And I can't remember half of y'all's names, but I can remember songs. Just maybe not all the words accurately, but I like making up my own words sometimes. But again, asleep. God just tucked him in the bed. I love that illustration. Just tucked him in the bed. He's coming again. Verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." I paused as I was reading that a moment ago. The word of the Lord. I want to emphasize this morning that Paul received direct personal revelation from God. He wasn't saying this were his words. He wasn't saying this was an idea that he had. He didn't even say this is something he was drawing from the Old Testament because this wasn't found in the Old Testament. So this is the word of the Lord. Look at what it says. "Say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." In other words, we're not going to stop them from rising from the dead. We're not going to prevent them. Those who are alive, we're not going to prevent them. Amen? But again, this is a direct revelation from the Lord. This is absolute, Paul's saying. This is exactly what's going to happen. He said, you had questions about the resurrection. You had questions about the coming of the Lord. Here's exactly what's going to happen. Those which are alive will not prevent those which are asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Shall rise first. Notice how many times the word shall is used in this group of scriptures. Just interesting. Shall. It's going to happen. Verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God." This is the rapture. This is the rapture. The trumpet of God shall sound. This is the rapture of the saved. Those who are in Jesus Christ, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, will be raptured out. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up. That's what rapture means. It means caught up. The word rapture is not found in the New Testament, but it means caught up. Caught up. The rapture of the saved. How will they be raptured? What will be the sign of it? A shout. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, a shout. You just imagine being there when Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. In John chapter 11 again, in verse 43, the Bible says, and when Jesus had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about the napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. He cried with a loud voice. We think about other areas in which Jesus cried, and what was the product of that? What happened because of that cry? We see Lazarus, when Jesus cried, came out of the grave. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50, the Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again, he was on the cross now, Jesus on the cross, John chapter 27 and verse 50, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept, arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Those who slept, those saints who slept when Jesus Christ was on the cross and he cried with a loud voice. Many who slept rose from the dead. Lazarus, come forth! He cried, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus came out of the grave. Well, there's going to be a third shout. There'll be a shout. The Bible says, and the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There'll be a third shout. When that third shout happens, all the saints who have slept will rise from the grave. Amen? Amen. Whew! The third shout. That could happen today. It could happen this moment. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Millions will come forth out of the grave. The dead first, those who have died, who knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Messiah, those who slept in Jesus, the Bible says, then those who are alive and remain. I want to read verse 16 again, emphasize something here. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Shall. Those are assuring words. Those are absolute words. There's no doubt it's going to happen. I have hope in God. I have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have hope because of His finished work on Calvary and that He died for me. He died for my sins. He bled and shed His precious blood that my sins might be forgiven, and that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. And now He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. For 2,000 years now He's sat there at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. But one day, He's coming again. With a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those who are in Christ, those saints who have slept, will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with Him in the air. Amen? It shall. No doubt. It's going to happen. then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be caught up together with Him. So again, get the picture now. Those saints who have been buried and are sleeping there in the grave, the Bible says, will God bring with Him? Their soul and spirit will He bring with them? And the trump of God, the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and they'll meet their bodies. 1 Corinthians 15 describes it as a moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Amen? That their bodies will be changed, incorruptible. We'll have incorruptible bodies. Amen? I'm looking for the day that I don't hurt, right? Remember as a kid, you could jump off anything? Seriously. Back behind our house, there was a big peach orchard. And there at one time, a man owned it who had a son the same age as me. And he had a big old barn. And the barn had a big front porch on it. And boy, in the winter or any time, we could get on that front porch, you know, it was probably 10 feet high. And we'd slide down it and just fall off. You know, it was nothing. It was fun to slide down it. Boy, now if I just jump from here to there, my feet hurt. Right? Some of y'all, if y'all jump from here to there, wouldn't be able to get back up, right? You're saying, you don't know about me. I can. I can still jump a chair. I'll prove it to you sometime. No. I've got a plan. But our bodies hurt, right? No? Some of you in the room with arthritis? Amen? I'll think about several of you. If I was to have a raise of hands this morning, who all hurts? Brother Batchelor would raise his hand twice. Amen? When the trump of God sounds, this is Bible, it's not me, it's not Paul's ideal. He says, this is the word of the Lord. This is absolute. When it happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain and be caught to be with Him in the air. 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to read it later, says that we'll be changed. Our bodies will be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Amen. They'll be raised incorruptible. We'll receive glorified bodies. We receive new bodies. Amen. You say, preacher, you really still believe that? Don't you know science this and philosophy this and doctor this? I'm going to hope in the Word of the Lord because the Word of the Lord is absolute. It's absolute. And I'm going to receive an incorruptible body. Amen. Notice what it says. The God of comfort, He says, wherefore, in light of this, comfort one another with these words. Comfort. Again, it never says there in verse 13, it doesn't say we shouldn't sorrow, but we shouldn't sorrow as others who have no hope. If your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you're placing your trust and hope in Him, you don't have to sorrow as others as the lost world sorrows. We have hope. Our loved ones are just sleeping in the grave. Our bodies are only going to hurt for a little while. Someday are we going to receive new bodies. Amen? Our hope, and that you may, again, with these words, everlasting life, we shall be with Him forever. The hope of His coming brings comfort. The hope of His coming. He's coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but surely soon. Coming again. He's coming again. And it could be today. Are you ready? Are you in Christ? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you have the same hope that I have this morning? Are you confident? Are you as confident as I am? How many of y'all believe I'm confident? You think I'm confident? Oh, man. See, I absolutely believe it. There's not a doubt in my mind. You can have that same confidence. Amen? Oh, you say, well, religion's a crutch. For those who are at the end of their life and dying, it's just a crutch. Well, you know what? It's a good crutch. You always people want to go around knocking the crutch out from under somebody. Man, I'm so glad I had the Lord to lean on in times of sorrow, in times of pain, in times of difficulty, in times of discouragement. He is there. Don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Place your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand. head bowed and eyes closed.